morning and welcome to episode 193 of Taking the Charge podcast. With you from Regensburg, Germany, I'm David Hein of Hein News. Thanks for stopping by again back home, back in Alemania. Was a long time away. It was very nice to come back home. And yeah, some good hoops out in Saragossa, where the 2016 FIBA Under 17 World Championship took place. We saw the Americans win, the United States win the men's title, the Australia win the women's title. Yeah, fantastic stuff. And we'll talk, I was going to say at length, but we'll talk enough about it. I'll give you guys your a good fix of that. And, talk a little bit of OQTs, Olympic qualifying tournaments, and, I guess probably, I don't want to talk too much NBA, but I guess I probably should, at least give you, my opinion of what's, about Durant. That's really the only one I want to talk about. There's a whole bunch of other moves, obviously, but maybe we can, maybe I can get somebody on again, and we could do sort of a NBA free agent trade session. But first of all, to let you know how you get in contact with the show, the email address is hinnews@gmx.de. Easiest way probably is on Twitter. That's hinnews, H-E-I-N-N-E-W-S. The Facebook group is Taking the Charge podcast. Just put that in there and you will find the group. What else is there? What else? Hinnews.com, of course, is the website. Go to iTunes, rate, review the show. Yes, fantastic. Okay. Durant. If he feels like he has to go there, obviously going to... Golden State, no surprise for anybody that news. It's a surprise that he went there, but it's not new news. It's been a couple of days, so people know it. I don't really totally understand it. I guess he feels like he can't beat him, so go join him. Barkley really had a great example saying that. Can you imagine Isaiah Thomas with the Pistons saying, "Oh, I can't beat the Celtics," and going over there, or Jordan not being able to beat the Pistons and joining the Pistons. They were really on the brink of beating the Clippers. They were up 3-1 and couldn't finish them off and. Finish off the Warriors, and so he now goes over there, 2-year deal. Not really sure. I mean, you have to think he's a another fantastic shooter, and that puts three of them there. And I suppose he could play some stuff in the post. You can go to some smaller lineups if you want to cause some mismatches. Because of the height and length that he has, some people out there saying there's only one ball, who's going to take it. And, there's a legitimate point to that. And, I don't totally get it. He's looking for titles and you can understand that. Go recruit somebody. I guess they were really close to getting, or they would have been able to, or gone after Al Horford. They had just brought in Oladipo. That could have taken away some of the scoring burden off of Durant. They just got a super worker in Sabonis in the draft, and you have to wonder a little bit about the relationship between Westbrook and Durant. It has to definitely have played a factor. I'm not saying that it was the reason why he decided to move, but now everybody's trying to figure out what to do against them, you know, even though LeBron and Cleveland are the champs. But now people are going to be saying, okay, how do we beat the Warriors now? I don't think until the dust is all settled can we say they're the favorites. I know that might sound crazy to some people, but it doesn't make them any tougher necessarily. You know, I mean, I know Durant is a pretty high level player, you know, top three in the world, but not exactly the most dominant physically out there. By no means saying he's fragile, despite the injuries, but he's not fragile. So, you know, it doesn't make him any tougher in games, you know, if you have a low post presence on the other hand, at the other end. You know, is he going to be able to guard, you know, tough fours that that Green, you know, wouldn't have to do? I don't know. So it's, yeah, there's a lot of, there's still some question marks there. I mean, you know, Bogut obviously has this really bad injury history. And I think they really have to bring in just like some physical presence. And I wouldn't imagine they're done. So, but you know, you look at the Spurs, and they just brought in, or looks like they're bringing in, Pau Gasol, you know, after letting, after it looks like they're getting a trade with Utah to free up some cap space, getting rid of Boris Diaw. So, you know, there's a lot to it, and you know, Cleveland hasn't done anything yet. You know, it doesn't. I can't imagine that New York's done yet. You know, Pistons. You know, what happens if the Pistons bring in another nice weapon? You know, with the way that Drummond is going. Clippers still haven't finished what they're doing. So there's still quite a few teams out there that, you know, teams that were in the running. You know, what does Atlanta do? You know, you bring in Howard. Do you want to do something else? I mean, they've shown that they really didn't have, like, a proven winner. And Howard is not exactly that either. So, you know, they try to go bring somebody in. So... yeah, lots of moving parts still. You can't imagine that the Lakers just totally want to stand still with what they're at, with what they're doing. Yeah, so, you know, it's you know, I can understand why people say that that Durant is basically just, you know, riding the bandwagon, going to make it a little bit easier. But, you know, hey, if that's what he wants to do, you know, let him do it. And we'll see, you know, when all the moves are done, and then we can kind of figure it all out, see who's where. And one other thing, and, you know, I was with some FIBA people, and we were talking, you know, late in the evening after the games and stuff like that, and some of the money that these guys, I think you could take away all the money, you know, all this, you know, really crazy money talk. It's, you know, with this whole boatload of money coming in, I think you just have to look past it and say, you know, this doesn't mean anything. You know, it doesn't mean that so and so is getting X number million dollars. I'd say go look at the length of the contracts, you know, and then kind of, you know, go by there. Judge by that, you know. Durant, Warriors, you know, definitely adds a new dynamic to the entire off season. You know, everybody wanted to know where he's gonna go, and so now we know. All right. I guess OQTs. We'll start with move over to the OQTs. The OQT over in Manila, New Zealand, just eliminated Philippines, which obviously for the Philippine fans is pretty disappointing. So they are now 0-2. France and New Zealand will play for first place. Turkey and Senegal will play for second place. So the winner between France Let's see if I have fingers out. So, the winner between France and New Zealand, the loser between New Zealand and France, loser will play Canada, who beat Senegal and Turkey, and then the winner will play the winner between Senegal and Turkey. So Senegal and Turkey play Senegal Turkey winner play against the winner between France and New Zealand. The loser between France and Sweden, France and New Zealand play Canada. And then the winner of those two games, let's say France and Canada, just for discussion's sake, would then face off in the final with the winner going to the Olympics. We are going over to and none of those I think none of those games are surprises. Senegal and Turkey losing to Canada. Senegal actually had it pretty close for a while there, and then Philippines taking down New Zealand taking down Philippines. It's kind of a tight one, but in the end it was. I think they ended up winning by 9 or something like that. So no real surprises there. No real surprises in where is this one? In Turin, Greece and Mexico have beaten Iran and eliminated Iran, and on the other group, you have Italy winning both of their games against Croatia and Tunisia. So that means the winner between the loser between Greece and Mexico, the loser between Greece and Mexico will play Italy in the semifinals, and the winner between Greece and Mexico will play the winner between Croatia and Tunisia. Again, Italy play the loser between Mexico and Greece. The winner between Greece and Mexico plays the winner of Croatia Tunisia. No real surprises in this group so far. Even Croatia losing, lost by 67-60 to Italy at home. I mean, in Italy. So, Italy have all their guns. So, last group, Serbia. Serbia, I guess you can call, you know, I don't know, I don't want to call it an upset, but Puerto Rico beat Angola, lost to Serbia. So, if Serbia win, if Serbia beat Angola, they take first place. If they don't, I'm not really sure. We have a three-way tie, and it's going to be kind of ugly. And the other group, Latvia beat Czech, which I guess some people might say might be a little bit of an upset. But you know, Latvia and Czech played each other twice at Eurobasket last summer, so knew each other. Latvia were out for a bit of revenge because they beat them in the eighth place game pretty handily. The Czechs beat Latvia, which basically kicked them out of this tournament. But through the wild cards, they ended up getting in Latvia. So Latvia have taken first place and would play Puerto Rico if Serbia beat Angola. Latvia would play Puerto Rico. And then the Czechs play Japan. Japan lost by 40 to Latvia. So if the Czechs can beat Japan, they would then face Serbia if Serbia do beat Angola. So, just the plot thickens after today's group of games where you have all the group, you know, the group phase being done, then we know a little bit more about how these groups kind of stack up and the matchups, which there should be some good ones. So looking forward to it. I guess is that it about the other stuff? Is that it? Yeah, that's it. Yeah, okay. So I guess under 17s. Yeah, so really no surprise. The Americans took the title. Ran their undefeated record to 30-0 in 4 years. And, you know, dominant fashion. They won the final by 40 points, a record 40 points. And, you know, just cruised by Turkey. And lots of talent on this team. Lots of really exciting players. And, you know, you look at, Wendell Carter and Colin Sexton both made it to the all-tournament team. Sexton was the leading scorer. You know, Carter was one of this three-headed beast down low, along with Cartier Gordon and Austin Wiley. Then you had the exciting group of sort of wings, Kevin Knox the second, Troy Brown, Jalen Jackson Jr., and then you look at the guards. You had Gary Trent Jr., Javonte Smart, Marcus Howard. I mean, we've talked about almost every player. So, you know, it was just a really, really, really strong team. And again, you have to totally tip your hat to Don Showalter, the coach, who is now 50-0 at under 16s and under 17s. Has never lost a game for Team USA in the 16, FIBA America 16 championship and the FIBA under 17 world championship. Never lost a game, you know, and you know, being able to put together this group on a regular basis and with such short notice at the end, so little prep time. Only, you know, 2-3 games or so, you know, just, is really, really impressive. And like I said, you just totally have to tip your hat to the job that, Don Showalter and, his, the crew at Team USA do. All right. So yeah. Okay. Run down a couple other teams, I guess. Turkey being to make it to the final, I think probably surprised a lot of people. Of course, they took down the Canadians in the quarterfinals, which surprised a lot of people, and myself included. Didn't see it coming, but you know, hey, definitely have to tip your hat to Turkey for finding a perfect time to play their best game. Ahmet Can Duran was pretty consistent, 10-12. Didn't really shoot the ball very well as a low post player at 37%. Raghib Bek Attar was a solid big. Onur Albatym, very up and down, but that's kind of like how he's been all summer. 23% from 3-point range, only 53%. The team shot 50%. The team shot 50% from the free throw line. Turkey did. Yeah, you'd have to imagine. You'd have to think. Okay, how does a team that turns the ball over 21 times, shoots 22% from 3-point range and 50% from the free throw line, how do they make it to the final? You beat the right team at the right time. You got, you know, they knocked off Canada in the quarterfinals, and then got a Spanish team that finished without their went to overtime. Needed a tip in by Batim to get to overtime, and in overtime they didn't. The Spanish didn't have Miguel Gonzalez, and that's what happens. They make it to the final. So. You know, it's the art of basketball. It's these tournaments. I guess let me find Lithuania quick. Finland, Lithuania, nope, Korea, HIKL, Lithuania. Lithuania knock off Spain to finish third, take the podium. First time ever they reached fourth place in 2010. So they were back in the semifinals for the first time since then. And, Arnas Felica, you know, he was the captain last year. And was a little bit disappointing through the build up to the tournament, and also started slow in Saragossa, but really came on late and worked his way into the all tournament team deservedly as probably one of the best point guards in the tournament, although didn't shoot exactly tremendously himself, but. Definitely deserving. They had a couple of very interesting guys. You know, Ignas Argyonas. You also had Granatas Vasilaukas, who you had to like, and Vitalis Kozis was a pretty nice player. You also had Lukas Julekas. Just a solid, hard working team that. Played really well together and, lacked a big guy. You know, if they had another big guy, I think they could have, reaching the semifinals, getting to the third place game, winning it. And, you did quite a bit of stuff right. So, if they had another one, it would have been fun for them to have another crack at the Americans. I'm not saying that they would have won. I think, though, that they would have kept it closer than the Turks did in the final. So Spain mentioned that the injury to Miguel Gonzalez kind of hurt them. I think they might beat Turkey in the semis if Gonzalez ends up finishing the game. You end up having to rely so much on Sergio Martinez, who ended up making the all-tournament team. But it was just too much. You know, Gonzalez wasn't able to really go in the quarterfinal and the semis at the end, and then also in the third place game tried to go, but just wasn't enough. The Spanish team just really didn't have a lot of high quality weapons. And, one of your shooters with Josef Busquets, I call him Joey Buckets, only shot 31%. So just not enough to get the job done. Kind of a down generation. Another sort of downish generation for the Spaniards. Just kind of go through the rest of the team, I guess. We kind of maybe talked a little bit about it last week, but now that the tournament is actually over, kind of go through the rest of the teams. Just run them down, basically the rest of in alphabetical order. For Argentina, their best player was Lautaro Lopez. At the tournament, their best player, but by far the best prospect is Francisco Cafaro, who showed a lot of impressed a lot of people, and I think he's going to have a pretty bright future if he continues to work. He's the 2000 born big man, played some really good basketball. Not loads and loads of talent otherwise. Australia, we kind of featured Australia last week on the show. You had Fullerton, Tom Fullerton, Sam Froehling being their two main guys. We also talked a little bit about Dragan Elkas, who obviously had the two big games, but didn't really do a lot much otherwise. People said that, people were really impressed with... what's his name? Dalton. Colm Dalton, the big. Another guy that some people liked was Cody Statman. A young looking also small forward, shoot the, you know, it didn't, you know, shot decent, with, well, no, he didn't shoot, this in here. It was, I remember the one game in the preparation, he went 7 of 9, but struggled with his shot here in the tournament, just, 17%. There was, Patrick Byron, was Patrick? Patrick Bynes was, not too bad as well. So not the highest level of talent on the team, but, you know, I think for the, for that level, I think the Aussies, did a pretty good job. Ended up taking seventh place, beating Korea. So Bosnia-Herzegovina, you know, like we had said, Musa and some more Musa, you know, obviously broke the scoring record with the 50 points, averaged 34 points, for the tournament, eight rebounds, and 3 assists. You know, had shot 22 times a game, but still made 47%. A little bit disappointing of a 70% free throw for the amount of shots that he ended up taking. Asoya Jankovic actually put up the first triple double in U17 World Championship history, so that was pretty impressive. Also, kind of liked Emir Sarkisovic. Mutic, their center, played, kind of had a rough tournament, didn't play that well. But, you know, when you lose a guy like Nego Shakiras, you know, he didn't play with the team at all. Obviously, that's a huge loss. They ended up ninth, and, you know, Musa deservedly so made it to the all-tournament team, just because he was fantastic the entire tournament. Canada, you know, lost to Turkey. That ended up being their only loss as they bounce back and take care of business, winning the 5-6 game against France by 31 points, and showing that they deserve, you know, a fifth place finish. Still disappointing, one loss in the quarterfinals, and you don't even get a trip to the podium. RJ Barrett was absolutely phenomenal, and to think the kid turned 16, really just a week before the tournament starts is really scary. You had to really like Danilo Juricic, shot 44% from three-point range. Ignas Brastaikas, we've had on the show, just all around super performance, super solid, and really enjoyed watching him up close for a longer period of time. Shot 38% from 3-point range as well. Simi Chatu was, yeah, for me a little bit disappointing. I think you know, with so much athleticism, but there's really, I mean, there is so much athleticism, but not loads and loads of stuff other than that. You know, it was fun for me to watch Stephen Smith because, you know, he was one of the guys that I spotted before, and I think he had his moments. In general, struggled, but you know, had a couple of decent moments. And Andrew Nebhard, you know, it was, you could see definitely why people think really highly of him, but you know, didn't put up the greatest of numbers, but, you know, ended up, you know, running a pretty decent show, you know, 3.7 to 1.3, it's just turnover, almost 3-1, you know, you have to really like that. All right, moving on, next team, open Canada twice, don't need Canada again, and China, a little bit disappointing for me. I thought they would have done better. They didn't really do much with Zhu Rongzhen, their big, player, their nice center. You know, Bai Haotian, non-spectacular, 23% from three-point range, you know, never really shot the ball very well. Actually, none of their shooters really shot really well. Li Jiabo, actually not too bad with 46% on two, shooting two a game, basically. But, you know, the three-point shooting, not even 25% for the tournament, that's not going to, it's not going to go over well. And, you know, so they were unable to make it to the quarterfinals for the first time, losing to Korea. And then ended up losing to Bosnia-Herzegovina for 10th place, the worst result for China. And now some of those kids go to the U18s in Tehran. Chinese Taipei ended up taking 14th place, losing to Argentina. So, you know, their main guy was Lin Tiangchen. 21 points, 4 rebounds, 2 steals, 2.5 assists. And you had Tang was another guy who actually played, you know, was kind of a leader for them. But really, I mean, you got to look at, you know, what they ended up playing. You know, you open against the United States, first time they've ever been in the tournament. You open with the United States. You get beat by Egypt in the second game, and then you play. Have to play Turkey. You have to play Spain. You have to play Bosnia and Herzegovina. But they ended up getting their first victory over Mali in the classification 13-16, and then so they ended up getting a victory, which was good to see. And took 14th place. But you know, it's amazing how difficult of a group of games they had to play, you know, the Americans plus 3, Europeans, you know, so 2 semifinals and the reigning European champion. So, welcome to the World Championship, Chinese Taipei. Dominican Republic, they ended up taking 11th place, and ended up taking 11th place without 3 of their guys. Their main guys too. Justin Manaya was gone. Anderson Mirabal was also injured, and Alonzo Frink also got hurt. And yet they came up and knocked off Finland in the 11th place game. So took 11th place in their first journey to the under 17 worlds. Impressive. And but you know, those are the three main guys, you know, like we mentioned, were Minaya, Frink, and Mirabal. His 22 points set the new record for rebounding, most rebounds in a game. Moving on to Egypt, really good performance from Bebo. They ended up losing. They ended up finishing 16th. Bebo's numbers, Bebo being Ahmed Khalaf, averaged 17 points, 14 rebounds, and 4.4 blocks. Only shot 58% from the free throw line. But, you know, loads and loads of guys otherwise on that team. Esam Mustafa had a pretty solid performance at 10.1 and 11.6 rebounds and 2.6 assists. And that was really indicative. You know, he's definitely an excellent passer. And then Tariq Rafat, who interview was also on the show a few weeks ago, really, really was able to get out and run. Unfortunately, didn't shoot very well from outside, hitting just 29% from 3-point range. But really got their fast break going and got some easy points, but not enough. Ended up being the worst team, 16th place. Finland, actually, this is one of the teams I didn't really watch all that much. Obviously, Valtonen, you know, played pretty solidly. You know, it's not a team with loads and loads of weapons, so you know, they could, you know, other teams could kind of focus on them, focus on him. You know, he had 14 points, 4 rebounds, only shot 40% from the tournament, but I think also that little of that is because so many people focused on him. You know, the other main guy was Andre Gustafsson, who scored 11. Kind of a disappointing 29% from 3-point range. I think if he had hit some more of those, maybe they could have done a little bit better. And Mika Heinonen, their point guard, you know, with a 3.3, 3.7 assist a turnover, that's not really enough to get it done. So, yeah, they ended up, like we said, finishing 12th. What do we have left? That's okay. Let's do Mali. Mali first. Mali ended up beating the Egyptians in the 15th place game by 23. This was also a little bit of a revenge game. Egypt beat Mali in the U16 FIBA Africa final last summer in Mali. So definitely the Mali honor, I guess, whatever. The Malians, you know, had a little bit of more revenge on their minds going into this game. Abdul Karim Koulibaly was their main weapon, 15.7 rebounds. You know, solid player, you know, not very spectacular. This team, you know, had a lot of length. But, you know, skill level was not really... was not really totally there. You know, high athleticism and, you know, sort of a lacking in skill. So Korea, first appearance in the quarterfinals in the history. They had won only one game in their previous two tournaments. And they go and reached the quarterfinals, and then ended up taking eighth place, losing to Australia. You know, just have to tip your hat to these guys. They played exciting basketball, and was a really short rotation. I think it was seven guys, and you had you know, obviously their main guys are Wang Zhimin and Lee Yong-hyung, were probably the two main stars, and also along with Shin Min-suk. Those three are going to head over to the under-18s as well. Yeah, exciting. You know, Yang Zhimin it really impressed a lot of people. I think that you know, he's I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up coming to Europe. You know, there's definitely a lot of people looking at him with some open eyes. Last team, France, ended up taking sixth place, losing to the Canadians. You know, probably two of the most exciting players at the tournament of the non-North Americans, those being Jalen Horde and Yves Pons. Horde, you know, really just a really, really strong tournament, which was really good to see because he'd kind of been struggling this summer, spring/summer. 22 points, 5.7 rebounds, you know, 3.1 to 3.3 turnover, assist to turnover, which isn't great, but, you know, shot 35% from 3-point range. 35% from 3-point range, also 77% from the line. So just a really, really solid performance. Yves Pons, unbelievable athleticism. You know, just wowed people, and so it was just fun watching him play. Olivier Sarr didn't do quite as much as I thought he would, but you know, he's still a kid in the works. But like him a lot, Ivan Favre was really solid. You know, as far as, you know, rebounding, you know, had 8 rebounds, scored 13 points, shot only 15% from 3-point range, which was kind of disappointing. I'm sure he's not really happy about that. But you know, just a lot of great athleticism. Yeah. So, and I guess that's it. That's the rundown of the under-19s. Under 17s. I guess get to the interviews. Starting with RJ Barrett. Best player, best talent at the tournament. It was fascinating. The last game for the French and Canadians was had Barrett against Jalen Horde, and then also Yves Pons was guarding Barrett as well. So just an enticing matchup there. But here's my chat with RJ Barrett. Enjoy that. We'll catch you on the other side. So RJ, that had a heavyweight boxing feel to it. Thoughts about this game? Obviously, you knew that this game had a lot of importance. Lots of runs going back and forth. You guys each giving each other, big old punches. You guys came through down the stretch. In general, thoughts?
We didn't play particularly well this game, but even when we were down 10 with like 3 minutes left, everybody was just saying, "Don't give up. Just keep fighting to the end," and we won. So.
Give us a sense of what do you think this means to you guys. There's the group dynamic and everything else, but just in general, it's your first game. It's, the first time that you guys have been back together now for a while. You guys played last summer together. Just in general, what the feeling is of in the group, what this victory means?
It means a lot. Everybody is excited because Australia has been in the finals the past couple of years, so it just means a lot to beat them.
What's it like for you to be back with these guys? Obviously, a large part of this group was the guys that you reached the final last year for the first time at the U16s. What's it like for you being back with these guys?
I mean, we grew up together, so it's a brotherhood. We love playing together, and yeah, we're just trying to compete every day and keep getting better as a team.
You had the opportunity to be with the senior national team. Talk about that. What was that like for you?
It was difficult. I mean, bigger, stronger guys, but it was a great learning experience. It meant a lot.
Some of the things that you learned?
Like just how to play at a different pace and just like the strength of all the other guys and stuff and to play smarter. But yeah, just a lot of things.
Is there a moment or two that you just think about more than anything else?
When we played Croatia, I had a step back three and all the guys were like encouraging me because I haven't been playing particularly well, but it was fun.
Not playing particularly well. I mean, you hadn't turned 16 yet when you were with the team, and you're with the senior national team. I mean, that's really the goal for everybody. What was your thoughts about being with the senior team?
I was just happy that they even considered me to go up there, but yeah, it was great, and I knew some of the guys, so they really helped me and pulled me along with them.
When there was the thought that you were going to, maybe go to the training camp with them, what was your thought process there, knowing that, this tournament was here and that you were going to be going to the seniors? What was your thoughts there?
I didn't know if I was going to play with this team or not, so I was obviously excited, and if that happens, you can't turn it down, the opportunity, but I also wanted to be with my guys, so... But yeah.
How good is it to be back with these guys? I mean, like you said, even the team, they really didn't know whether or not you're going to be able to come. What was it like for you to show up then? Was it Monday night that you showed up later?
Tuesday night.
Talk about coming, let's say, the reunion with the guys, knowing that you guys are going for a gold medal here.
It was great. When I walked in, everybody jumped on me and everything. So it was really fun just to see them, and they knew that I was going to come in and we're going to reunite back together and just playing really well.
Talk a little bit about how you felt today. You really haven't been with the group that much now because you were with the senior training camp. Offensively, obviously you can do certain things just because of your ability. Defensively, just maybe how comfortable you felt out there.
I'm always comfortable on the floor, but it was like there's new guys and I've never played with some of the guys, so it was like trying to know like where each other is on the floor. It was hard at the beginning, but we pulled it out.
Maybe talk about Simi. He really stepped up a couple of times in those runs to get you guys back in and to give you guys big leads. Talk about what he was able to do out there tonight.
That's my boy. He has so much energy. He never stops. Like, it doesn't matter, offense, defense, whatever you need, he provides it. So, yeah, he's really good.
Offensively, at the end, did you just kind of say, "Okay, I'll kind of take over," or just kind of happen to work out that way, or what happened?
I mean, my teammates did a good job of finding me, and I just drove. And one time I passed, one time I scored. Just the defense never knows what we're gonna do. So.
How good do you think this team could be? I mean, you look at all the talent level, the improvements that you guys had from last season, what you guys did against the Americans last summer with a big lead. Everything points to a pretty good team. What do you think about this team, and what do you think about the chances here?
This team, we're even deeper than last year, so I feel like we're good enough, and we have enough talent, and the coach is really good, so we have enough to get back to the finals again this year.
What would it be like to reach the final of a world championship, knowing that you're going to be on the podium?
It would be great. Like, not a lot of people get this opportunity, so we got to make the best.
Last question: How relieved are you that you are here? You know, because like you said, I mean, you didn't even know.
Yeah.
How relieved are you that you're able to? You know, it's not every day that you can play a world championship. So how relieved are you?
When I found out, I was so excited, and it's like I'm taking everything I learned with the seniors and bringing it down here, and I could help the other guys and stuff, so it's pretty exciting.
All right. Already seems like a professional, and, the way he plays, you see it. You see that he's an emerging star. He'll be great for a long time. Move over to the Americans. Had a chance to talk to Wendell Carter from the all-tournament team. Had a chat with him, and I'll catch you on the other side of that. Wendell, we are through the group stage. You guys are exactly where you want to be, 3-0. Probably happy with how the defense is playing, and offense is set offense. You guys don't play all that much. I know you like to get out on the break. In general, maybe where you think you guys feel?
We're feeling a good place, like you said, 3-0. You got to keep getting better and better. I think we can win the gold.
What do you think you guys are doing well right now?
Probably our best is our defense, getting rebounds and pushing the transition.
You're back here wearing USA again. Last summer was FIBA Americas. This summer it's World Championship. How excited are you to be here?
Very excited. Any opportunity I get to have USA on my chest, I'm going to take the opportunity and play as hard as I can and get the gold medal.
What does it mean to be here?
Just doing it for my family, my friends back at home, and more importantly, my whole country.
A couple of the things you're interested in, maybe just first of all, Carter's Corner. That's a chance for you to kind of just express yourself a little bit. What do you think about that? How do you use that?
Let people know things about myself, except for when reporters just ask me questions, just be able to go outside of that and be able to just talk to my fans.
How much more fun is that other than the 144 characters of Twitter?
No, it's good. I mean, I like both.
Another thing is the, where am I here? You can't take it with you.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
It was great, it was a great process, all the rehearsals and things like that. They had to get up on stage, remember the lines and things like that. You got to have a great time.
What was your role?
I was a handyman, and it was kind of like early 1900s, so it was two black people, and we kind of did the, I don't know how to explain it. My wife was like, in the play, a maid, and she cooked for the family, and I usually went out and got stuff for the family when they needed something, so that's what happened.
Do you remember your character's name?
What's his name? Oh, man.
Do you have a lot of lines?
I have about 30.
Okay. Is it hard to remember them?
Once you get out there, you can improv. You can, add words if you get stuff, so I don't think it was that hard.
More nervous than basketball court?
I'm more nervous than basketball, yeah.
Why?
First time, had to get the butterflies out, but I think if I do it again, I think I'd be much more comfortable.
So, a one-time play, or what was it? It was a school play.
Yeah, a school play, and it went over for 3 days.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And was that in the summer, or was that during?
During school.
Okay.
Yep.
And is that something you want to do again? You like acting?
Yep. I do.
Bum, bum, bum.
Obviously, there's a lot of talk about college, maybe just first in general. Thoughts about the process that you're going through, you know, just being courted, you know, people coming to you, asking you about it. What do you think about all that? Is it as fun as maybe some people might imagine, or is it really not fun at all?
Yeah, it's actually a lot of fun, you know, being able to see all the different schools, see my different options, you know, where I plan on spending my college career at. And you know, once I finally make that choice, I think it's gonna be a lot of fun.
You have a time frame when you're thinking that you want to do it by so and so?
I want to say last signing day, but that could change. But just be on the safe side. I'm just say the last signing day.
Yeah. All the stuff is also in the court in Carter's Corner. You mentioned it looks more and more like with Gary. Obviously, you guys are here again. Are you rooming again here as well?
Yep.
What's it like? Can you talk about that relationship with him?
You know, we talk about college very often, you know, trying to come up with a good school that both of us will enjoy going to together, but if it doesn't work out that way, and we have to part ways, and I mean, that's still fine.
But that's the aim, is to go with him together?
Yeah.
Is that a USA Basketball thing now, or you look at Jaleel and Tyus, and then even, you know, Justice went to Duke as well? Is that something you think about?
Yeah, I think about it a lot.
Yeah. Maybe just talk about, you know, you look at, you know, we just mentioned three guys who are in the NBA right now, six guys that have played in this competition, were drafted a couple days ago. You know, knowing that if you play well in this and you keep going, you know, that you're already at a high level, what does it mean to know that all these guys who played in this thing can, you know, go on to, you know, such great things, and really it's just a matter of work?
It just makes me drive even more, you know. I want to be just like the people who've been here before, like you said, Jaleel, Tyus, and hopefully I can get to that spot one day.
Is there anybody you asked about this tournament, you know, ahead beforehand? One of the past USA guys that you know? Obviously, the goal is to have the confetti rain down on you. What do you guys have to do to get there? What do you guys have to do to do that?
We definitely got to keep our defense up. More defensive rebounds, crash the offensive boards more. Knock down shots, of course. And I think golf is going to come when it's needed.
Who's somebody here that you really have been impressed with? You know, maybe even one of the guys that you were with last summer and stepped up his game that much more, or one of the new guys?
Devontae has definitely stepped up his game a lot. A great, great on-ball defender, making great plays on the offensive end, and a great teammate.
Doing a piece on Austin. Obviously, he missed the tryouts last year with the double knee surgery. He's a beast out there, kind of like you. Talk about him. Talk about what he brings to the table.
He definitely takes a lot of stress off of me, you know. I played with him when I was a little younger. You know, I go to high post and just throw it right down to him, let him eat, and then vice versa. So it takes a lot of stress off of scoring and rebounding. So he's definitely a great feeling to see.
Who are some of the guys you looked up to starting to play the game?
What was that?
Who were some of the, like, your role models? Who are the guys, some of the guys that you looked up to?
Like in NBA or college?
Or college or whatever. I mean, like, who are some of the guys that you looked at first?
Anthony Davis is who I kind of try to model my game after. I know I need a lot of work in that area, but that's what I want to be like.
All right, I'll let you go with that. These guys are having fun now.
Yes. Yeah, you know, there's a bit of Okafor, not as great as Okafor, but you know, there was a bit of Okafor in there, and so he was really, you know, he could have been even more dominant, but still had some pretty spectacular performances. And you know, just this, like I said, this three-headed beast in the post. Get a couple of words in from Coach Don Showalter about Carter, and then also ask him about the next interview partner, that being Austin Wiley. So here's USA Coach Don Showalter talking about Wendell Carter and Austin Wiley.
I want to. We're gonna do something on a couple of guys, so just get you while we're here.
Sure.
Maybe Austin first. Yeah. Obviously, his mom accomplished so much. His dad played basketball as well. You know, he wasn't able to be at the tryouts last year because of the injuries. Maybe knowing that, you know, the motivation coming in.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to make this team. Just talk about him, his development since he's coming to camp, and where he's at now.
I mean, we're seeing just him improving great strides every practice and every game. You know, part of it is he hasn't played a lot. You know, he's injured, and, you know, he just hasn't he played as much as some of these other guys. So it's taken him a while to come around and kind of understand how, you know, playing with each other and those kind of things. But, you know, he's a bull around a basket. And, you know, when he figures out how to use his strength a little more, which he's been doing, he'll be really a very, very good player. And I can see a great improvement from one game to the next with him.
What's the thing he's doing best here right now at this moment?
Well, I think he's just understanding the game more. I mean, when to get position, you know, how to hold off people, rebounding well. He's never in the same place. Shot goes up, he's moving to get the rebound. So he's making a great effort to get rebounds outside of his area, which I think is huge for him.
The other guy's Wendell. Obviously, he was on this team last year, and, you know, there's that leadership. And then, you know, he's out there. He's just a beast. You know, he's doing things that a leader should do. Talk about him.
You know, Wendell's really a special player. And you look at his stat line, you know, he only had 11 points tonight. But yet I thought he really controlled the game when he was out there. I mean, he had 4 or 5 whatever assists. He passed the ball well. He's a great teammate. I mean, he just understands what he needs to do to make his team better. And sometimes it's scoring, sometimes it's passing, sometimes it's just playing defense. So those are the kind of kids that really make your team. And, you know, he's just gonna be a great, great player.
How much better is he, and maybe in what ways, than last summer?
Yeah, he's really improved his game. I think he has learned to move on to the next play. Things don't go quite right. I think last summer I thought he got frustrated a few times with, you know, international play. The officiating's different. The physicality's a little different. You know, so I think he was kind of frustrated with that at times last year, and he let it show. And this year he's just moving on to the next play, and I think that's really helped him a lot. And, you know, now he understands more about the international game, which I think has helped him
out. And that'll help him at the next level too.
Yeah, no question. No question.
All right. So Wiley, gonna had a chance to talk to him as well. Mother, being a former USA basketball player, you know, went to Auburn. The father went to Auburn. You know, he's committed to Auburn. Hasn't had a letter of intent yet, but you know, for all intents and purposes, he's heading there. So I had a chance to talk to him. Here's Austin Wiley.
Good win. Austin, you're at a world championship.
Yeah.
You guys 3-0, three pretty solid wins. Maybe talk in general, your thoughts about how the team has played so far.
We play pretty good. I feel like we can play even better, but I'm proud of how my team played. We just got to step it up in the next level, because we're done with pool play now, and now coach put emphasis on it's one and done, so if we lose, we can't get a gold medal, so that's our goal. That's the only thing we came here for, so we got to step it up.
What do you think you guys have been doing really well?
Just on the defensive end, on the glass, offensive and defensive, just and running out and scoring and transition, just in our I just love our defense.
You weren't able to be on the team last year. Mm-hmm. You're new on this team. Yeah. A lot of the guys though. Maybe what it's like for you to be at a world championship.
This is a blessing for real though, because last year I had to go through 2 knee surgeries, and it was hard to watch them pick the team in Colorado without me while I was over there doing rehab and therapy and stuff. But I just kept that thought in my head, and it pushed me all through the rehabilitation process and throughout the season to keep working hard. So I got here, and it happened. So, yes.
You know, your mom has been in a lot of these moments. She was at the under 19. She also played the world championship and also played the Olympics. What stories does she tell, or what kind of things does she recollect with you?
Just growing up, like, she just told me a lot of stories about the players that she met and just traveling the country and just representing the country. It made me, from a young age, I always made it a goal that I want to play USA basketball, and just a dream come true.
What does it mean to have USA on the jersey right now?
Words can't really explain. It's just a great feeling just to represent the country, playing the game I love, because, like, it seems like we're not just representing the USA on the sports level, we're representing just the whole country, like the soldiers, the troops, like everything.
A lot has been talked about the final last summer at the U16s where Canada jumped out to the big lead. You have you know, good number of guys from that team. Mm-hmm. What's been the message regarding that final and you know, I mean, if it's something like, hey, you can't take anybody lightly, or, you know, we have to be on our game 100% of the time, all the time. What's been the message thinking back from that?
Pretty much, you just hit it on the head right there. Just can't take any team lightly. Anybody can come out. Everybody's ready to play the USA, because everybody we play are like the underdogs to everybody that's watching. So they just want to come out and just hit us in the mouth early and just try to continue to beat us. So, but we just gotta beat everybody the same.
What do you think about this Canada group? They're pretty athletic and talented as well as you guys. Just in general, thoughts about the Canada?
I really haven't seen them play, but I know a few players off their team, so they're pretty good. I know they're coming for our heads, but we're ready though.
Yeah. Just in general, thoughts about having your mom out here supporting you, you know, knowing that she was in the same situation as you.
It's just great, because I just can't help but just keep thinking about when I was a kid, and she would tell me all the stories, saying, you're going to be there one day, you're going to be there. Then I remember first time I got invited to USA, we were just both happy, and just keep reflecting back on that. Now it just pushed me to even go harder.
Your dad went to Auburn, your mom went to Auburn, especially your mom has a, you know, definitely a huge legacy there. What does Auburn mean to you?
I just love the school. Like, if it even wasn't about basketball, I'd still go there, because I just love the atmosphere, the people, the academics, just everything perfect about it.
Knowing some of the guys that have played in this tournament, you know, not only the USA but worldwide, six of them were drafted in the NBA draft who have played in this tournament. You know, obviously all the USA guys. What does it mean for you to play in this tournament, knowing that, you know, if you come to this step, if you keep working, there's some pretty big things that you can expect?
Just a blessing. I just see it as a great opportunity. I just got to keep working and not blow it. So that's my mindset.
I'll let you go with that.
Okay. And last interview, I actually had a chance to talk to his mom. I was going to write something for FIBA.com, but ended up writing up Wendell Carter instead. I had a chance to go up and talk to his mom, Vicky Wiley, who was in the stands, some good stuff from her. Vicky Wiley. Vicky Orr used to be. She played for the United States at the 1992 Olympics. Some fun tales there. And also as a 1990 world champion. So, enjoy this and catch you on the other side.
Okay. Vicky.
Hi. Yes.
We are at the world championship, under 17 world championship. We're watching your son play for Team USA. You've seen him now. This is the third game. How do you think he's performing out there?
How's what?
How do you think he's performing?
I think he's doing wonderful today. He struggled a little bit the last game. Today he's in a little bit of a foul trouble first half. Got three fouls, but overall I think he's doing wonderful.
How nervous was he coming into this tournament, being a world championship?
Well, you know, he was ready for it. He didn't get a chance to try out last year. He got invited to try out, but with his double knee surgery that he had during the summer, we kind of had to cancel everything, so he was ready to get out there and prove himself, so to speak.
How do you think he's done in general, knowing that, you know, it's such an elite team? How do you think he's performed at this level, knowing some of the other guys at this tournament?
Yeah, I think Austin's done well, because from the very beginning he knew that he would have to play a certain role. It wasn't necessarily the role that he's used to playing, which being, you know, the scorer per se, but he knew his role. His main thing has always been, I'm going to go in and work hard no matter what, and rebound is what he really wanted to do.
You've been at this stage already.
Yeah.
How excited are you to watch him?
I can't even put it into words. You know, it's great to see my son, first of all, be interested in USA basketball because, you know, in order to do well, I think you have to have some interest and a love for the game, and he does. He wants to take it to the next level and one day hopefully be an Olympian as well.
Apropos Olympia, you know, when most people think of 1992, most people think men's basketball, they think dream team.
Exactly.
You were at the Olympics in 1992. Right. You won a bronze medal.
Right.
Got beat by the former Soviet team. Ended up coming back and beating Cuba.
Uh-huh.
Beating Cuba for bronze.
Right.
First, we'll go up to you in your tournament there, Team USA, bronze medal. What are your recollections of that?
Well, first of all, I can't forget that it was just a great experience overall. Of course, being an Olympian was a dream of mine for as long as I can remember. And so given the opportunity, in 88, I was invited to try out for the Olympics, but I had also double knee surgery, so I wasn't able to participate. So I knew 92 was my goal. We had a group of incredible athletes on that team, and it's one that I'll never forget.
Who are some of the players that you know, looking back and just say, you know what, it was so much fun playing with that, or watching her just really just play?
Well, you can't not mention Katrina McLean, Teresa Edwards, Cynthia Cooper, Vicky Bullitt, Carolyn Jones, Tammy Jackson. I could go on and on. We just, everyone, you know, from the very beginning, we knew the talent that we had, and we bought into the concept of being the very best that we could be.
Thinking back, is it, oh, we lost the semifinals, and we had a chance to win the gold, or you're happy? Obviously, you're happy with the bronze, but just wonder what happened if, you know, as far as the medal goes, semifinals. Talk about that.
Yeah, you know, it's it's bittersweet. You know, first, you know, you just given the opportunity to be an Olympian. You know that it wasn't given to you. You worked hard. But when I think back on that whole experience and the medal that we received, we're happy. Not satisfied with it, but we're happy with what we got. We knew that we were projected to win the gold, and just losing that one game, you know, at the wrong time was what set us back. But I think I can speak for all of the ladies that was on that team saying that it was a wonderful experience. If we had to do it all over again, we wouldn't necessarily do it the same way, but we would definitely take one game at a time and, you know, just give it our all at all times.
Obviously, like we said, 92 was dream team. Were you able to go over? I know up until this past year or this coming year, it was men and then women and then men and then women. I can't remember how it was in 92.
Right.
Were you able to watch any of the men's games and you have in general recollections of the dream team?
Yeah, actually, we had a really good relationship with the guys. You know, of course, we were starstruck in the beginning. Me being from Auburn, I knew Charles Barkley already, so that was, you know, wasn't too bad. But just getting the opportunity to meet those guys before the games actually started, attending different banquets and different functions, and getting a chance to meet them. We actually flew over to France with them, and then they went their separate ways, but we were able to watch some of their games and get to know them a little bit.
Anyone in particular? I mean, like we said, you knew Barkley ahead of time from being at Auburn, but anybody that really stick out, you know, thinking back, you know, hey, just really memories, and maybe one of those.
Yeah, they were all incredible, but my biggest probably crush and just admiration for the game was Michael Jordan. I'd always wanted to meet him, and we just so happened had the same jersey number, and he got a chance to escort me out to one of the functions that we had to go to, so that was pretty cool. I'm sure he doesn't remember me now, and I haven't seen him since, but it was always nice to meet all those guys.
92, you didn't get gold. You did get gold at the 1990 World Championship in Malaysia.
Yeah.
Talk about that. I mean, obviously, you got your gold. It's a world champion. You are a world champion. You're not an Olympic champion, but you're a world champion.
Yeah.
Talk about it.
And that's something I'm proud of, because a lot of those ladies that was on the 92 team, we were on the 90 team together. We just added a couple of pieces to the 92 team. But it was a great experience. We got to travel the world, played against some really good teams and great competition. And, you know, it's right up there with being in the Olympics. You know, you have those goals and you have those dreams, and a lot of those came true.
And then a little bit of, let's say, redemption, or at least, you know, that much more satisfaction, knowing that 19's In 85, you were only got fifth place.
Yeah.
That must have been a little bit of disappointment, being a world championship. You know, that was your first world championship. You had been to other events, but talk about that. You know, what you remember about that.
Yeah, well, as I get older, I tend to forget a lot of things, and it's great to do interviews like this so that you're reminded of things that happened in the past. But, it's always good, just to look back and think back to where you were, how old you were, and what types of things you did, what goals you accomplished leading up to. It just kind of shows you the hard work.
Maybe talk about, you went to Auburn, Aubrey went to Auburn, Austin's going to Auburn, maybe what Auburn means to you and what it means that now that Austin's going to be going there too.
Well, I can't say enough about Auburn in general. It's my second home. I love it. I fell in love with it the moment I stepped foot on the plains. I always tell people that. And, it's just a great feeling to know that your child is going to follow in your footsteps and hopefully do much better than you did, if that's even possible.
You went to two NCAA finals.
Yes, yes. Three. I went to three.
Oh, you went to three. Two straight.
Went to three, yes.
Okay.
You always want best for your child, better than what you did. And even though he has some big shoes to fill, he never seems to be overwhelmed with that, or he never feels the pressure to do better. He just wants it, and that's what I love about Austin. And think about the coaches that were in place, Bruce Pearl and Chuck Person and some of those guys, and we developed such a friendship and relationship with them. I've known Chuck for 30 years.
I was going to say, Chuck has been that establishment for so long. So
he was just a great addition to to the program, and so it just puts me at ease knowing that he's going to be with someone like Bruce Pearl and Chuck Person, who's going to take care of him and lead him and guide him in the right direction when I'm not there. So I'm excited about that.
To slowly get back to this game so that we can both enjoy it, at the All-Star game, the NBA All-Star game in Toronto, they had the 20-year celebration of the WNBA. This is the first time that the men and women are at the under-17s together in one tournament, one youth festival. I don't know if you've been able to go check out those games at all. Maybe just in general, your thoughts about the growth of women's basketball worldwide, maybe states in particular, but in general, your thoughts about women's basketball and the growth it's going through.
Yeah. Well, when I finished playing, I actually, my last competition was the 92 Olympics, and I got the opportunity to go back to Auburn and coach under Joe Champy for 2 years, and decided that basketball coaching really wasn't for me, and I wanted to start a family right away. And ever since then, really, I've been so busy with Austin and all of the things he's been doing that I really haven't kept up much with the women's game as a whole. I'm aware of the WNBA, and I'm ecstatic that they're celebrating 20 years. We've come a long way. I mean, I've watched some of it throughout the years, but it's great to see them celebrating and lasting this long. Hopefully the longevity can continue. I got a chance to watch the girls play yesterday against Italy. Mm-hmm. Loved it. It brought back a lot of memories. And, I try to think back to when I was 16 and 17, and just really proud of them. And they played really hard and brought home the win.
I hear the sneakers. Let's go watch
it. All right.
All right. Fantastic stuff. It's a show. It's a wrap. Hey, y'all. Guess what? This is episode 199. Next week, 200. Can't believe it. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. 200 episodes of this. And you guys have been listening to it, some more than others. It's just an amazing ride. And you know me, and you know how I like to pump it up for the big shows, and be prepared for some fun stuff next week. It's not every day where you record your 200th episode of a podcast. So that's what's up next week. So I hope you enjoyed this one. I think there was some great stuff in there. Next week we're doing 200. So, Yeah, enjoy, and can't wait to see you next week, man. Enjoy, and talk to you. Hey, remember, hey, loads of basketball coming up. You know, you have the OQTs right now. NBA, I'm sure, is going to have some, you know, some big movement as well. We are 2 weeks. We're just about 2 weeks away from the start of the under 18 Africa Championship and Asia Championship. They run both from 22nd to 31. We're going to be doing some. There's going to be coverage on both of those pages. Are jacking up their coverage. Under 18 Europeans are jacking up their coverage as well. So, you know, get on FIBA.com, check it out. EuroLeague has put out their schedule, and so there's going to be some movement there as well. You know, leagues, teams in Europe are starting to make moves as well. So, you know, it never dies. And then, you know, before you know it, we'll have the Olympics. Very exciting time, and, enjoy it. Enjoy this week of basketball, and, see you next week for number 200.
John Musa, and you listen to Taking Charge.